This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Hi. Who likes meatloaf?
I love it.
I don't. I hate it.
Who likes a meatloaf sandwich?
Joe likes it the best.
I like the singer.
I love them.
How long has it been since we have been fascinated with Kathleen Turner's speech patterns? It is nearly a decade, right?
You know, we have never...
Right?
It's yes, right. Yes, right.
Right, boy? Right.
But we,
sure, boy.
We have never properly researched it.
I think it might have been a staring contest.
Did she... And this is an open-ended question.
Cold pork pie?
Did she spend time in a foreign country?
Hi, Rosie.
That's a good question.
Where does it come? Because, no, most of the time she spent here, yeah. She's American.
Right.
Has she had some sort of brain surgery?
Good question.
Well, she's had all sorts of ailments.
That we don't know about.
Yeah, yeah.
What, Robbie?
There was something that we had a tape of some years back where she put a pencil in her mouth to exercise her voice.
Right, I remember
like
that.
Like, she put the eraser tip on her tonsils.
But I think we concluded back then when we first discovered this handicap.
I would all be passing as a stroller brigade.
What?
That
what?
She, it is, above all else, it is an affectation.
I believe
I
so.
Well, I'm going to, I want to.
It there came right is. After switching channels.
But
Rosie,
then,
my irony.
Even after those tapes were made.
Now
her head got bigger.
It is like...
She's a monster.
Yeah.
3.0, 4.0, 5.0. Mm-hmm. It's like Kathleen Turner now, 9.0.
It evolves.
It's Kathleen Turner Vista.
Yes, there's... Yeah. That's right, there's an entire new version of Kathleen Turner.
And she's got... Her head has become so large that her hair just hangs off the side of it.
She used to be so hot.
And the speech... Uh-huh. Is more affected, darling.
It is, and also now what she has to go along with that.
He shares discovered a lower voice. Mm-hmm.
It's affectation meets affliction.
There is a financial house that she did a commercial for.
Right.
The company you keep.
That one.
Whatever.
The company.
Smith Barney.
Smith Barney, the company you keep.
And she is, I don't know what's wrong with her, but it's great to listen
American.
To her. No, you don't.
Now, these snippets are years old, 10 years old.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with this empirical situation.
The voice has gotten much lower.
It's gotten worse.
Like it might have been a staring contest.
That was one of, now that's a little more recent as it gets lower.
Are you marrying in a, see, I don't even know what she's saying.
No.
Are you marrying in a staring contest?
And eat, she will say it becomes eat.
Eat
cold
did not seem
pie?
To be, I was very cold, going to die.
Cold pork pie.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie. Uh-huh. Anyway. Here she is now. Let's analyze her now.
Up to date.
Making a meatloaf sandwich.
Is this with Martha Stewart?
With Martha Stewart.
I'm back with the delightful Kathleen Turner, and one of my favorite things to do with leftover meatloaf is make sandwiches. Everyone has his own way of making them, so Kathleen is going to make hers. And it looks like you're using like a 7-grain bread.
Yeah, I love it. It's called health nut bread.
That's delicious. And I'm using French bread, or I would use a Portuguese roll if we could have found one. And, you make yours and I make mine. Okay. I'd like to see how you slice your meatloaf, too.
All right.
Thin or thick?
I start with Miracle Whip.
I love Miracle Whip. I like it, too, I like it only on my tomato sandwiches, Miracle Whip.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
It really is.
Really? See.
Okay, so I make Russian dressing.
Wow.
And don't put any ketchup on your.
No, I'm not adding the sound effects here of all the eating stuff.
How often is
the eating sticks and cutting sticks?
Eating stick.
The cutlery.
How often is it that Martha Stewart is the one that doesn't sound effective?
Yeah, but Martha Stewart's got that that Connecticut elitist affectation.
Right.
Kathleen Turner's in the stratosphere as far as a phone.
Great new invention called the Automato.
The Auto. Tomato.
Yeah,
that's
I want to see
it,
if that's going to get the ketchup on your sandwich. So
that's
Russian dressing.
What we're calling it.
Russian dressing is just mayo and ketchup, and a little bit of lemon juice. I love lemon juice.
More Kathleen, please.
Yeah, shut up, Martha.
You can taste it. How does it taste to you?
Real good.
Good. Okay.
Whisking.
So put that on. Let's see if the Automato is going to get to it.
Come on. Where's the Kathleen Turner in this?
As the ketchup. Her.
Come on.
No, it's Martha Stewart. She doesn't let anybody talk.
Okay. Kathleen doesn't waste any time. Here, I haven't even gotten to... Okay, let's watch. Here it comes. Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. Let me push this closer.
Okay, better. Okay.
What?
Oh, boy.
Yay!
She just took her top off.
Yay.
She took her top off.
She's covered with bug bites.
Sure. Oh, boy.
Let her speak.
Yeah.
Come on, Martha.
It's a little much, but you're working on that, right?
I think it's a little much.
Get over from here over, please, camera. he probably has already, right? Oh, I put Russian dressing. Bye. Then I put a little salt and pepper. Then I put lettuce. You didn't put any lettuce on yours.
No.
No, you don't like lettuce. Then I put a little bit more Russian dressing.
Yeah, all right. On your sandwich, on your bread, on your vegetables that God gave you.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting here with a song by Meatloaf queued up, and I thought that this would be a clever little thing.
It sounds to me there is a chance. How long does this run?
Oh, my God.
Because it sounds to me.
2 days.
It sounds to me like Martha Stewart's making her sandwich first, and Kathleen is going to make her sandwich second.
48 more seconds. But it's labeled Kathleen Turner makes a meatloaf sandwich. Yeah. I guess in theory that's what it is, but.
Got to hold that for you.
I need the automato for. I bet it would work for. It would work for Russian dressing, right? What would you call it?
Don't you do that again.
Okay, so that's my sandwich. That's Kathleen's sandwich. We're going off and having a picnic. I don't know about you people, but this is a delicious pair of sandwiches. Thank you very much for being
That's
here.
That's it? Well, okay.
We got a little, she was there.
Uh-huh. Just barely.
She was there. I'll eat the bullet on that one. I played it without listening to it.
She did a lot more of the affected talking on The View when she was interviewed on The View. That's when she talked
to
herself.
Please welcome the amazing Kathleen Turner.
Ah, yes.
Hi, Rosie.
Big Head is coming out on wheels.
Hello. Hi, my dad.
Well, congratulations on your new book, Kathleen.
Thank you very much.
It's very exciting to have a book. How many have you written?
Oh, this is it.
Oh, this is your first?
Yeah. Oh. It's going to be another 30 years before the next one.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Tell us,
do you ever send yourself roses?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like when?
Yes. Well, the thing is that I love roses in my dressing room. And the first week, opening night, you get a ton of flowers and roses and everything. And then they start to trickle off. So, because I always like it, I have a standing order for a couple dozen roses every week.
Oh, that's okay.
For my dressing room.
So
that
okay.
I have what I
She's
have.
Been working with a speech coach.
Yeah. Well, I order roses too sometimes, but not.
It's like hearing Frankenstein speak perfect English.
Whatever. That's nice to have around your house.
Right.
And now, I also understand that one of your goals in acting was to play the role of a Martha.
A Martha.
Not this Martha.
Not the Martha.
Martha.
Yeah. A Martha.
Okay. All right.
In Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I read that when I was in college, about 20, and thought, when I'm 50, that's my role. So when I was 49, I started campaigning. I found Edward Albee's producer, and I arranged to meet him and to have lunch and everything. And then he said, what is it you want? And I said, I just want to have a reading for you. I just want to be able to read.
I don't care if it's not dramatic. It still makes me laugh.
So we did, and we had a reading.
Did you have to read, or was it already memorized?
No, I had to read. Oh. I wasn't taking that chance. That's bad luck.
No, it is. Okay.
But, and then they got it, and the next week, I turned 50. So it was a lovely thing.
Oh, yeah. Perfect present.
Yeah.
Perfect
present. But you had to wait for the applause in the audience.
Sure.
So,
lovely thing.
With a lot of other very astonishing.
Oh, hold on. This part I have heard. This is the part where she compares herself to Sophia Loren.
Oh, good.
Where she says, would you go to Italy and would you say Sophia Loren doesn't look the way she used to look?
Okay.
In essence. If I'm hearing this right.
Actresses are considered mature. And,
mature.
Yes, I
am. And how are you perceived here versus Europe? Is there a difference?
No. Oh, there's a big difference. Of course there is. I think that actually when I did The Graduate, did Mrs. Robinson here on Broadway.
Robinson! Mrs. Robinson!
I was 48 years old.
Oh, my.
Now, I suppose, so this was the big deal here. Yeah, yeah. That a woman who's 48
like
would
Mrs. Robinson
still consider herself attractive.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to England, say, where it was quite acceptable. It makes me laugh sometimes. I think, would you like to go to France or to Italy and say Catherine Deneuve and Sophia Loren are over it?
Oh, no way.
Try.
Yeah.
You know, they are still I personally in it. Challenge you to do this. But in our country, it's a very different thing.
They're
and it's a little sad.
Yeah, it is. Well,
sad.
But there are good parts. You're still acting. You're still.
What are your good parts?
And directing now. Now that's very exciting to me because that's a.
Would
totally
you go
thing then,
to France, France
after playing Mise Robinson? And I would say, Martha, I wish to bite your head off.
She sounds like a Scandinavian fisherman sometimes. You know, she'll sit there.
We got a winner.
Oh, really?
Jared. Hello, Jared. Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, go ahead.
Hey,
you got
I know you remember.
It.
I know you remember the movie Throw Mama from the Train. That's what Kathleen Turner sounded like. She sounded like Mama.
Yeah, Ann Ramsey.
The lady.
Nothing, Mama.
Walk her up.
Who are you talking to? Who's in there with you?
He's right.
Nobody, Mama.
Who's this?
This is Cousin Patty.
Kathleen Turner.
He's going to be staying with us for a while. Isn't that nice?
You don't have a Cousin Patty.
You lied to me. That's all.
That was so incredibly lame.
But this song's by Meatloaf, right?
Yes, it is.
Hello!
Paradise, baby.
Hello!
I made it. Make a Meatloaf sandwich. Let's just cut right to it.
Let's pick the phone and let's call that hotline today.
Yes.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What do you think, Sleepy Regis?
Well, let's see.
It's kind of queer, isn't it?
It was all very queer.
Very queer.
Very queer thing.
But queer things were yet to come.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, we got a move here.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Jack the Buzz, you still here?
Ah, yeah.
There he is.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
You don't.
Oh. Okay, no time for tapes. Here's Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
And welcome back.
Welcome back to the film.
Welcome.
We were barely dressed.
Don and Mike show. It's Tuesday. Phone number same as it was on Monday, 877-365-3636. It'll be more distracting than the Kathleen Turner tapes if this tune continues to roll,
pretty
right?
Catchy. Yeah, because it's really not a song. It's an anthem. It's a story.
An opera.
Right.
I just want to say it's great to be live from Los Angeles again.
You got fooled by Regis today, didn't you?
God, I got duped. That little worm, that little gerbil, that little weasel Gelman sneaks in that show being recorded.
He didn't know, Rob.
They cheated us.
I had to go back and double check.
Where did they? They run out of the bottom, right?
And it's almost transparent.
God.
Damn.
You got to know your Regis. You got to
no
know
wonder,
when he's
live.
No wonder,
because I came into you and I said, hey, that was some kind of energetic show today, thinking that the second day in Los Angeles, you know, Regis was all sleepy. Probably. No, he was sleepy. He has an excuse. They did two of them.
Well, let's see.
He was tired because they doubled him up yesterday.
The poor bastard.
Wow.
Well, listen, before we start the show, and we're going to try to get to the stuff with Frank Murphy up front, try to tie a couple of these loose ends together.
Good. Very good.
An update on cousins.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Your, like eighth your girlfriend's eighth cousin.
Yes, sir. Spent some quality time on the phone last night with my gal's dad.
Oh, very good.
Jimbo, the Jimster, how'd Jimmy that... Crack Corn, and I Don't Care.
How'd that go?
Well, it went great. Yes, oh, yes, Jim the Knife Salesman.
Knives, right.
Yeah. At one point, Janet was on the phone with her dad, and she came in. She said, pick up. Dad's got something he wants to say. And I said, hey, what's happening? And he said, you know that guy, Cousin Brain? He's bad news.
Oh.
Everybody in the family knows that this guy's whole racket is he just goes from place to place to place.
There it is.
Pretty much until you kick him out.
What a relief to know.
There it is.
And
so he'd still be with you if you hadn't indicated you wanted him to leave.
And he said to Janet with me on the phone, he said, Janet, this is not a secret. Why, everybody in the family knows about Cousin Brain.
And Cousin Brain was going to another family member's house.
Yeah.
Warn them. Yeah, he was. And then the thing he said that made me laugh was, and he said this honestly, he said, did you check your silver?
Oh, my God.
What an old man thing to
that
say.
That is an old man thing
word
to
is
say.
Out.
You know, and I said, gee, I don't know. Do we have all of our spoons?
Well, yeah. Check you now. You check everything. If the father says that, you know, check his educational background. Check everything. No. Make sure you know he's really from the college he said he was from.
I got the full background on the guy. The guy is some sort of genius in his field.
I'm sure. Eccentric, perhaps?
Absolutely.
Mm. All right.
As a matter of fact, the movie that Janet's dad used to reference the guy, and it's funny, old people.
Like, okay.
Like, and I put Janet's dad, he's 80. God bless him. Why, before you say something bad about someone, you say, God bless them.
To cover yourself.
But he's trying so hard to talk about things that are current now so he's hip and with it. Because I'm considered to be the hip boyfriend.
Exactly.
So he says, thanks, Rob. He says, I think the best way to describe Cousin Brain is, well, there was a movie, and because he's an old man, we ended up on a 5-minute chat about movies and how come the sound on some movies is louder than on others? And
right.
How come you just can't leave it at one level and it's the same?
Sure.
And finally, I'm on the other extension looking at Janet, like going, giving like the hurry up sign. And she's like, you asked.
Yeah. Right.
I jumped in. I said, Jim, what are we talking about here? He said, the guy from the movie with the astronauts. And I said, need more information. And he said, the guy, Bob Billy.
Ah.
And I stopped for a moment, and I was able to interpret it. I said, Billy Bob Thornton. He said, yes.
Oh, I got you. Okay, the genius that never gets his rocket into space.
And then because he's such a lovely
old man. The astronaut farmer.
I swear to God, he said, we saw the movie on the cable. On the cable.
The cable.
On the cable. And then he throws it on the TV that you guys got us for Christmas.
Right.
Which is working out very nice.
Good.
That's the movie that kind of describes him, except he also just likes going and hanging out with people. He's kind of a recluse, and when he gets one place, it's hard to get rid of him. And then he said to Janet, he said, don't you remember when he moved in with so-and-so and stayed for 2 years?
Oh, my God!
It happened.
Janet's looking.
What about the wife?
The wife, that's an interesting one.
Okay.
They have a unique marriage of intellectuals. She is also some sort of brainiac person.
Sure.
And they have
open marriage.
A paper marriage, I guess. Uh-huh. They don't live together anymore.
But they're not divorced?
They're not divorced, no.
Right.
Because
they're legally separated?
They have too many common interests, is the way that it was explained to me.
Like Jim and Martin.
No, not like that. Like common financial interests.
Ah.
That it's smarter for them to just...
Sure.
Wow.
Makes business sense.
Rob Spiewak writes, yes? Loveless camaraderie.
Loveless camaraderie.
Remember, that was in Me and Carrie's Vows.
Well, no wonder he hops all around. He's trouble.
He's
trouble.
Jan's dad said he's a weird bird.
Good.
So what? Now
you know to avoid him.
Now he knows that he's a weird bird. I'm looking at Janet going, well, you know, thanks for giving him, like, all of our addresses and phone numbers and everything. Real
shame
smart.
You didn't get that intel prior to his visit.
Yeah.
No piano for him, though.
Could have saved you some serious time.
You can still stop that, right?
The piano?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Good.
So anyway, all worked out well, and the guy is kind of, and you know what else he said, Mike? One of the same things you said yesterday. You know, Janet, and he was saying this to Janet. It was funny to hear her lectured by her dad with me on the phone. She said, and he's speaking at that old man decibel. Said, well, Janet, you should know we are a good Irish Catholic family. Any Irish Catholic family will tell you there's someone like this.
Yeah.
You can go to any Irish Catholic family, and you'll find someone like this. Yeah. Someone like. And then we were off on a tangent. On an old man tangent about, what, do you remember the time that Aunt so-and-so said, and at that point, I just said, all right, listen, Jimster, great talking to you.
And he didn't even, I just, you know.
No, he didn't mention.
And you're out.
Yeah.
Gone.
And you're
gone,
out.
Done.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why I was so hypersensitive to it.
Unaware.
Because I have relatives like this. I remember that my family would always have the guy that would stop down, and I forgot what his name was, but he was the cousin's brother of a brother's cousin or something like that. And yep. He would stop by, and we were required as the chillins to come into the living room and have this meaningless conversation where there would be all this, you know, this distant family reminiscing. And I remembered up until I was 18, you know, when I'd be home from school,
wow.
I was sitting there, and these people would come in that, you know, I don't want to sound cold, but meant nothing to me.
No, I
get
it.
I had no frame of reference on them whatsoever.
Right.
And my mom would turn to me and say things along the lines of, oh, yeah, well, he's got a son about your age. You should give him a call. And I,
right.
You know, and I'd sit there and go, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea,
yeah,
Mom. And I
shut up, Mom.
No, but I knew my mom was BSing too. It's like I have no intention of doing this. You know, it was the moment when you'd have a family reunion where there would be kids your age. Then it would be fun. But as far as this distance thing, and like there were, God, I remember the last names. There were Dowds, and Sheehan's, and O'Mara's, and one other name. I forgot what the other fan. Oh, that's right. Soprano. That was the other day. No, there were all these different names, and I
heard interesting stuff about this guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I heard stuff like, for years the family wondered if he was like in the CIA or something like that.
Just and then, because he's eccentric.
Yeah, and at one point he was saying it again. This is lost on Janet. She must have missed the family meeting about this because her dad said, "Well, don't you remember that time he built that thing in his backyard,
mm-hmm.
that big gun thing?"
Right.
Oh.
And Janet's like,
wow.
I really don't remember what time that was. And he's, well, I'm positive we spoke about, maybe I spoke about that with your mother. And I mean, I'm again looking at her going, you know, that big gun thing?
Yeah, right.
that big gun thing. But apparently he's just a guy who likes.
He is CIA.
Likes roaming around, likes just.
He's a creative, infiltrating a-hole.
Having a good time. And the main thing is. Yeah, the number one trait, cheap.
Yeah.
He is cheap.
Well, obviously. That's why I think we discussed that. Yeah, it was a lock, wasn't it? That's why he busted ass back from downtown D.C. to get his free dinner.
And sure. The last thing that Janet said, because I left this conversation, like I said, I bailed on this, and I went back and I sat down and finished my dinner. And when she came back, because that's the kind of guy I am, I won't wait for her to get done talking.
No need.
And she gave me the high sign. Go ahead and finish it, because I'm gonna keep talking. She hung up the phone. She said, and you know what? I said, what could it possibly be now? She said, as a matter of fact, my dad thought about it. He owes my dad $50.
Well, probably from a long time ago.
I must have been. I mean, back, you know, back when horses.
Well, you know, sometimes if you wanted to make it sitcom-y, you know what you do? You turn the tables on him.
How so?
You can.
In what way?
You turn the tables on him by going out to dinner and saying literally you forgot your wallet.
Yeah, I guess.
Just one payback.
Yeah, but then you got to go out to dinner with this guy. This guy was just a creep. And the money, I think, was long enough ago. I was going to say something like when horses were still counted as horsepower. I think it was like, because you know old people, they all love marking the time around the Great Depression.
Sure.
Because they were born somewhere around that.
Right.
It was sometime between the Great Depression and when we were coming out of WW2,
right.
Or maybe it was closer to Korea, or no, maybe it was we were coming out of some conflict, and that guy owed him money.
Well, it couldn't have been any of that. You said he was like in his 30s.
That's what I was saying to Janet. Right. I said, if the guy like.
Did he have the wrong guy?
No, it was just, she said, well, that's just my dad.
Might be an older family member that was the same way.
Just kind of spiraling, and then he came back on point.
All sure. Right.
Well, you know, I've dealt with old people a lot, lived with Big Daddy a long time. Maybe he thought he loaned him the money just after an episode of MASH.
He tied the TV in.
Anyway, so that mystery is solved.
Good.
And
you're not alone.
The other thing that I found very interesting today, I know you've seen the tons of free publicity Starbucks is getting for this shutting down for 3 hours today. All I can say is at 8:30, they're shutting down from 5:30 till 8:30 to learn how to make a better cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
At 8:30, whoever's first in line, that better be the best goddamn cup of coffee you've ever had in your entire life.
I turned it off when they teased that story. I don't even know what's going on. What are they shutting down? I don't drink coffee, so they're shutting down
all of the locations so they can have a 3-hour seminar to learn how to better make espresso and make these fancy drinks and better serve people.
Why now, can't they just train people like on the ships?
That's a good question.
This is more dramatic.
Wouldn't be publicity.
Right.
They want to do something in mass where everybody learns at once. And, you know, you might say, well, why don't you do it at 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
You know, well, the deal is no one would cover it at 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's a big news story. It's a PR thing all the way.
I want to make the evening news.
We're buying into it. I'm just saying I hope that somebody
You've
out
already
there,
bought into it by making that comment about you'd like to be You know, you're thinking you'd probably like to be the first guy in line.
Oh, no, I would not, but I hope someone
Are you
going
to be lingering after the show and going across the street, waiting an hour and a half and rolling over to that one over there?
I got it at home. I got it. If I wanted, I got it at home. But there's got to be somebody out there listening who's going to go to one of these Starbucks.
Yeah, let us know.
Whether it's East Coast or West Coast time. Really, I'd love to go in there and just be the first one and get that cup of coffee and say, you know, be like an All-American Burger. And just go, you know what?
This is not the best cup of coffee
I've ever had. I would love to be in that position.
That would be funny if you did that, but you're not, and it's not going to matter. And it's going to be the same coffee, and it's a hype machine, and who cares?
Well, I'm going to say this. I hope that they train the slobs at Starbucks, you know, to move a little faster than they move now. It seems to me that they'd moved every single stoner that used to work at Tower Records has now got a job at Starbucks. What? And here's the deal. At Tower Records, it was okay because the guy wanted to sit there and talk about, you know, Heavy Metal magazine or whatever with some guy.
You expected.
You can wait for a couple of seconds to buy your CDs, your albums. Come on. Just give it to us now, world, Starbucks, please.
They don't work at Starbucks. They can go to the phone solicitor that talked to me last night for the fifth time in 2 weeks. I have two questions for you. When you use a certain level of profanity on the phone, is it actionable? You know, can they actually? They can't do anything.
No, especially if they call.
I've never gone off in my life on a complete and total stranger.
Just words, Jackson.
This is the fifth time in a week, in a week's time, and this is the third time saying, "Please do not call again." And it's also the fourth time that it has happened to me upon 10 minutes of my walking through the door. This is a heating and air conditioning company, and this is the fifth time total, and I went off on this one.
You told me about them yesterday.
This was last night. Last week, right?
Yeah, or somebody, you mentioned it off the air to me.
It was nuts.
Have you done business with this company before?
Yes, I have,
unfortunately. Okay, that's why they have the end to
but
call
But I said,
you.
I know. I didn't even get into that with them. I said, do not effing call me again.
Right.
This is the third, and I said, effing time in a row that you have called me. Do not effing call me again. And then, of course, and this just lights my candle even more. Sir.
There's no need.
Sir. Uh-huh. And this is, seriously, this is the flatliner on the other end. Sir, you don't need to use profanity with me. Then I will not. If you don't want the profanity, it's very simple. You see that number in front of you? Do not effing call it again.
I think that's well
handled. And when I hung up, and I just hung up, I didn't say anything more after that. But I really wanted to recreate the Willy Wonka. I really want to say, good day to you, sir. I said good day. And hopefully that will do it. This is the third time I have said, I thought with
I'll
phone solicitations.
Company. Was it Anthony Cumia cleaning or cooling?
I wish it was. No, the thing is that here's the deal. I have we have a real issue with the vents and the heating because it's an old house that they modernized to put the central air conditioning in. And I could really use that, you know, that type of company. And I would have really taken their phone call.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
It was.
Good day.
You know, I had a little day yesterday, and I walked in, and I swear to God, when I got that phone call, that was it. That was the be-all, end-all.
Ouch, ouch, hello.
But they don't call back.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, Buzz, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, somebody supposedly at work told me today that Dunkin' Donuts is trying to put the smackdown on them during those 3 hours.
How so?
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I've seen the ads. It's bad. They're just offering like 99-cent coffee. They should be offering FREE coffee.
Yep. And I think as a donut eater, I think I speak for a lot of Americans where Dunkin' Donuts, fine. We all know we love a lot of people love their coffee. Really, it's great. I'm glad they have coffee business, but their primary focus should be the donuts that are coming out of that fryer.
I see.
You know, that is what they should be concentrating on, and also replacing the old ones when it's time to replace the old ones. Number one priority.
Keep fresh.
Did I have that right, though? Is it like 99 cents?
That's right.
Oh, okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye to you.
Goodbye to you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'll be there. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Good. I actually drive around all day fixing the equipment for Starbucks, and one of the big things, that reasons they're retraining is because they changed the way the coffee's going to taste. But I guarantee you, not a single person will be able to taste the difference.
Okay, thank you for that report, Junior Reporter.
They've changed the taste, Mister. But you can't taste the difference.
I would say the compulsive.
I'm a Dumas. Thank you.
The compulsive Starbucks drink. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm out of my depth here. But the compulsive Starbucks coffee drinkers, you know, will notice it if it's a big change in flavor.
Unless you're one of the people like me, where they put so much junk in there, they really could serve you like pureed horse manure, and if you put enough syrup in it, and you go, hey, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
All right. Good. Let's call our former producer, Frank Murphy.
Oh, yay.
And let's find out. Now, Frank, this is something that happened last week on the show. Frank's name came up, a producer from the past. One of our first producers.
One of our very first producers. Was he the first producer?
Like second, I think.
Second.
Wasn't Johnny Metro?
Was Johnny Metro after Frank? No, Johnny Metro was the first.
Yeah, right. Then it was Frank. Anyway, we had a lot of good years with Frank, and it went south. And then we had a coming together, and he's got a business now where he's a DJ, and he's also a consultant.
Yes.
So we sent him an hour of our show from Monday.
So he could critique it.
Uh-huh. And it says on his website, it's Frank Murphy, morning show coach.
Right.
And we can listen to it to an air check. That's a tape of a show.
Uh-huh.
We can listen to an air check and talk about what you should have done yesterday. Or we can do a conference call and brainstorm about what you can do tomorrow. That's what it says on Frank's website.
Very exciting.
So we sent him the first hour of our show.
We have to change our attitudes going into this.
From Monday.
We are psyching ourselves. Do you realize we're behaving now like we did if we were going into a program director's office? I can tell, and people listening to this might not know it, but I can tell by looking at Don looking at me, we're both beginning to fidget a little bit. We're both getting that cynical, you know, oh, what a waste of time.
We're in control now here, gentlemen.
Let's see what happens.
I don't need to worry.
I'm not worried. Do I look worried?
Frank Murphy.
Hello, Frank. Frank
Murphy. Hey, hi, Don and Mike. How are you?
Mike. Hey, what's happening? How are you, Frank?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Welcome to the show, Frank, from frankmurphy.com. Did you have a chance to listen to the tape of our show of Monday?
Well, I thought it was last Friday you wanted me to listen to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. Last Thursday.
My mistake. Or... All the days run together. You're right. It was last week. Sorry about
Thursday,
that.
Yeah.
You got the tape that we sent you.
Yeah, it was posted on your website.
All right. It's a sample. Well, see, there's something I didn't know. Right away. I didn't know it was posted on the
website. Nor did I. Well, either way, Frank's heard something from our show, and I guess the time that we would like is 60 seconds, please.
60 seconds for a critique?
If you can give us...
Is that your normal time frame for a critique?
You guys know perfectly well that if someone asked me for advice on their show, I would tell them, try to be more like Don and Mike.
Now, come on now. Don't kiss butt yet.
We're waiting for an honest critique of the show, since you do that, and, you know, it's been a while since we've been tweaked.
So here we go. 60 seconds.
Well,
how about this?
You know, come on, guys. You know that.
Let the pupil teach the masters. Go ahead, Frank.
Everything I learned from you guys. And all I would say is be more like Don and be more like Mike. And Buzz is great. You know, I can't. Come on.
Oh, bummer.
But you guys know perfectly well that the only reason anyone would hire me for a coaching service was because of the experience I have working for you guys and... Now, some of those other shows.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. I thought you were really going to go for it.
How about like how we go from topic to topic without even stopping to tell everybody what we're talking about? How about how we don't like do stop sets? How about how the show's so inside? How about the fact that you're on? That you're on the show?
Yeah, that I can't explain. That makes no sense to me at all.
But that's not the tape from last week.
Oh, that's today, right.
Well, what happened is Rob sent me a link. He said the file was too big to email, so he sent me a link.
You know, you are showing good judgment, Frank.
Your webpage.
Not offering any kind of critique whatsoever. Is there any? Let me see if I can put it in a positive.
Hurry, Mike.
We
had 4 seconds
left.
I enjoyed
hearing about the weather, all the ice storms.
Mike, that's it.
It's
well,
time.
That was a wonderful critique, Frank.
Frank, to show that we are big guys and that, you know, we harbor no ill feelings toward you. We do really love you. Rob mentioned that you would like to say your side of what happened when you left our show.
Well, that's so, that part. I mean, part of what your
once
the,
again,
the link that he sent me was
there is 60 seconds. go ahead, Frank.
You know, it's not really that important. We covered this last time you and I talked, which was, you know, on the air 3 years ago. It's just that Ken Stevens had led you to believe something that wasn't the way it actually happened.
What?
Yeah. Now Ken sort of indicated that you had demanded more money.
Well, no. Ken threw out a number that was significantly less than I was making at WAVA, and I wasn't really interested in taking it.
You can hear the nerves in his voice. I love him.
So that was pretty much the end of the discussion. I don't think he was really particularly wanted to hire me. I think maybe he was looking to put his own person in there or whatever his motives were. I know, but they weren't. His motives were definitely not to hire me.
Oh, really? So it was Ken? Okay, yeah, I remember we had that discussion.
He threw out a number that was a lot lower than I was already making.
Wow.
And, you know, I never quoted him a figure. He came up with numbers in his own head to tell you guys.
All right, well, let's find out now. There you go, where I think we're about. Let's just
all right,
see.
So that's
that answer side. Is false.
Is that the end?
Frank, it's not our intent.
You know, you're here, and we talk to you, and we don't talk to Ken, so that's okay.
Yeah. It's not our intent to bust your balls. Frank, as you know, I'm going to take a hiatus at the end of May, and just wanted the chance to say thanks for everything you did when you worked with me and Mike, and you really were the best producer we ever had.
Oh, well, that's nice of you. I appreciate that.
You're a good guy. How's the family doing, Frank?
They're doing good. They're doing good. Frank Jr. is going to graduate high school and head off to college next year. We don't know where yet.
Now, are all of your children officially taller than you now?
Oh, absolutely.
That is very cool.
There's no question. Yeah, we posed for a picture. One year, we went to a Christmas picture, and I stood up on a step, so I would look the same height as them. And then the next year, we said, screw it, and I just stood down, and this showed, you know, that they're all literally a full head above me.
That is too cool.
Does your son have the full beard and have to shave three times a day like you?
Well, he's getting there. He just did the kids at his school were doing facial hair February, so he let it grow for a little bit, but then he shaved it for some reason the other day.
But he has the Frank Murphy hairiness?
It's coming in, you know. It'll get there. It's not fully there yet. I've trimmed mine back a little bit. I had the local newspaper gave me a makeover last year, which is kind of
tell
amusing.
Us what newspaper it is, please.
Oh, the Knoxville News Sentinel. Yeah, they.
All right, very good.
What's the news with your troop of thespians down there? Don't you have some sort of like on The Office, like a group of it's Knoxville,
an improv troupe?
Yeah,
yeah, for fun. I do that for fun. Exactly. It's my amusement, and we perform every week.
You always like to keep one foot in the theater, don't you?
Well, this is my first foot in the theater, yeah. So.
Oh, it is. Oh, all right.
And if by theater you mean bar, that used to be a brothel, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's very unusual for you. Are you still a devout practicing Catholic?
Oh, yeah, I still do all that.
Very good, very
sure.
good. That's good. Well, that's good because, I mean, there was an article just the other day, I mean, maybe even today, about people that are leaving their faith after, but you've hung in there for all those years, Frank.
Yeah, it's at this point, I think it's easier to keep going than to quit, you know.
You like the new pope?
Yeah, he's fine. I haven't really had much to do with him yet or anything.
You know, he wears red loafers and likes kittens.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, he's coming to D.C. You'll get to see him before I do.
Hey, who are you voting for?
I don't know. I was amused by Ron Paul briefly.
Come on, pick one, Frank.
I mean, I'm trying to decide. Do you want to vote for, someone who could be your dad or someone who could be your brother in terms of age, you know?
Right.
Because I'm thinking Hillary is not going to be the candidate at this point. I think it's going to be McCain or Obama. Mm-hmm. And Obama. So that's trying to, you know, do I want to seriously vote for someone who's my age or somebody who is my dad's age? And that's
well,
an issue.
I should mention that Ralph Nader's just gotten into the race.
You know, and my son is hoping that he and Obama would team up, because that way you could have the Obama-nator bumper sticker.
Obama-nator. I like
Frank,
that.
Be honest, is your house just plastered with the McCain stickers?
What now?
Your house, your car, walking
Frank,
billboards.
Frank, let's be honest with you. You were pretty upset that Huckabee didn't win the primaries, right?
You know, I don't. I think his fair tax thing is interesting, but I don't agree with him on every issue.
Oh, come on. You're with him on the whole Bible thing.
Well, you know what? No, I mean, seriously, as Catholics are liberal on some issues and conservative on others. So we really are without a we can't find any one person who's going to be right down the line.
How do you, Frank Murphy, in the year 2008, feel about rubbers? Go.
They fit comfortably over my shoes. I like Totes brand.
Frank, are you still against rubbers?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess.
He said devout Catholic, of course.
Yeah. Well, the Pope will tell you how to vote.
Yeah.
there's another Catholic. Frank, how do you feel about the mass going back to Latin?
Not in favor.
Oh, yeah. You're not in favor of that? Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Okay.
I'd rather it be in a language I can understand.
Can you speak any Latin, though?
I took 1 year of Latin in high school.
Ah, very good.
But, I can recognize a couple of words, but that's about
okay.
it.
All right, that's it.
So you couldn't say Power 105 plays all the hits in Latin? No? Negative.
No, I certainly could not.
All right, Frank. Well, listen, thanks for joining us. Thank you for the honest critique.
You're
of the
a good
show.
Sport. We know it always is a little, a little jumpy to come into our little arena here, but you did fine,
Frank.
Oh,
yeah. No, I'm fine. Hey, I know that last time I saw you guys, I had puffed up a bit, and I thought, and you mentioned that on the show. I'll let you know that I managed to I managed to lose about 50 plus pounds since I saw you last.
Wow. So you're back to being like you were when you produced our show.
Yeah.
Very good, Frank.
Congratulations. We both gained 50 since then.
Man, I tell you, that's a good weight for you. You must be getting laid a lot.
Not so much.
How's that going, huh?
Yeah.
How are things going there? In the old boudoir, the marriage bed.
Some things never change, you know. I'm committed. It's a lifelong relationship. It's same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
All right. Okay, well.
Very good. Well, you know, maybe if you come back to D.C., we can go to Good Guys or something like that.
If only you would have gone to Danny's in Memphis that day.
He did go. He just
wouldn't
get the lap
there. Remember, that's where I draw the line.
That's right.
Where I draw the line.
That's right. Frank Murphy is the winner.
Very good, Frank.
We declare this over. Thanks, Frank. Talk to you later.
All right, Don and Mike. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Aren't we horrible? We already know all his little buttons, and we want to push them. In like less than 10 minutes, we want to push all his little buttons.
We didn't even get him going on abortion.
No. See, what Don went with the first was the Catholic thing. Well, I sort of brought it up, you know, with the whole you're still practicing Catholic. And then we knew that Bobo is much more comfortable with sex than Frank was.
Oh, yes.
Frank hated talking about sex.
Found it hard to believe hated he had. It. Found it hard to believe he had two kids because he never, ever talked about it.
Wow. Was horrible when we'd ever have the playmates come in or the pets of the year would give it, and Frank would Frank would practically want to be locked away somewhere.
Yeah, this whole thing.
He was curious.
Sure, yeah, but sometimes like shield his eyes. Like if there was a girl changing her clothes in the room, he would be like, I shouldn't be seeing this. You know, and most guys would do that, but then they would look.
Right.
Frank wouldn't look.
Yeah. And that was back in the days that they'd be changing their clothes constantly.
All the time.
During the show. For a variety of reasons.
Salespeople. Yes. Well, there you go. You just heard it's a rave from consultant Frank Murphy from frankmurphy.com. You can find nothing wrong with the show, Mike.
Well, that was an amazing disappointment. that opening salvo. I love the reminiscing and all, but, come on. Come up with the goods.
When we come back from a break, we can stay inside the radio business if you like. Remember yesterday, we read that article from the radio magazine about the ways to promote your station in this election year.
Yep.
And do it on the cheap.
And do brainstorming.
And it said if you want to learn how to brainstorm, send an email.
Well, we're going to get educated again.
We sent an email to the guy at the radio magazine, and the guy sent us back the email on how to brainstorm.
Oh, fantastic. We're going to learn how to brainstorm.
So if we get a chance, we'll call the guy up and see if he will come on the air with us.
Wonderful. Brainstorm.
We will see if we can pull off being about 40 points higher than you were just doing.
I see.
Just a little bit. Just turn up the brain just a little bit. Just that much, Mike. Just that
how
much.
How do you brainstorm?
How's that?
I got a question. If you're really up against the wall, how do you come up with an idea?
Idea.
You and I really don't have that intermediate gear, do we?
It's hard.
I think maybe it's a
free coffee. That's it. We can pull it off with the guy.
Oh, absolutely. We'll just be very serious. You know what we'll do? We'll pretend we're news radio guys.
Hey, buddy. How you doing right here?
That's no offense to you, Buzz.
No,
I'm talking about like the,
I know who you're talking
the news
about.
Guys.
Oh, the Valley's leader.
You know, really. I mean,
the Valley's leader on the sky, on the air, and up your butt.
You know, I've really, it's such an informative magazine.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
Valley News time. Countdown to debate 08.
What do you think? Any other ideas you could give us? Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Like that.
Do we have that cold front coming in this weekend? Find out in just a moment.
Winter's not over yet.
And the thing is, this could really be on WTOP right now.
Right.
Do you know how to brainstorm? That and the weather coming right up. WTOP news time.
Oh my God! I hear you know better than are we coming into sweeps again? Are we? Is there?
Yeah.
Are sweeps around the corner?
TV. Yeah. We're just getting.
I got it.
Ending him.
I got the best one. Huh? Listen, that lemon slice in your drink tonight on News 7.
Channel 7.
I think it was 7. That lemon slice in your drink. We sent our team out. Find out why it might be hurting you. Yeah,
please.
The lemon slices. Remember, it was that station up in New York. It was the iced tea.
Yeah.
Now it's the lemon slices.
But I like it when they work fecality into it.
That's
but
what
if,
it's all about.
If they
oh,
can...
you know, that's what it's going
to
be.
Sure.
Yeah, but give that to me when you're giving me the cue about this. Say not just lemon. Say fecal lemons.
Fecal matter on lemons.
Fecal tea. My name is Fecal Tea.
Fecal Tea.
Hi. I'm Fecal Tea. What was the name from yesterday? Something beef?
Tainted beef.
No, it was it skanky beef?
Close. Sketchy
beef. Hinky beef.
Sketchy beef.
Sketchy beef. It's the sketchy beef.
What was the other name?
And Fecal Tea Show.
I'm Fecal Tea.
And I'm Sketchy Beef.
Along with producer Frank Murphy, we wish you a good morning. Have you ever wondered how to brainstorm? We'll have that coming up in a minute. I'm Fecal Tea.
And I'm Sketchy Beef.
Stand by.
The Ed Koli Show's coming up.
News with Trendy Fedora right around the corner. Go to the eye out of the sky. What is the intro time on this, for God's sakes? I'm Albania.
And I'm Sketchy Beef.
This is Alabama, wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays.
Don't forget to join Salmonella on the weekend.
Say, friends, suffer from rectal itching. At this point, you can say almost anything because my name is...
Hinky Beef.
No, no, you're,
no,
the,
you're
beef guy.
Fecal Tea.
Who am I?
You're Fecal Tea.
I ran out of time.
That is one long intro, isn't it?
Screw you, Meatloaf.
Sure is.
Meatloaf, I bet he's had some Fecal Tea.
He makes it.
All right, we'll be back. Stay back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.